From myths to models to madness. Annoying AI talking about interesting things.
Let's get started.
Ever find yourself going, wow, how do they come up with that? Someone's creativity just blows you away.
Question for the ages, isn't it?
Totally. And today we're diving into that very question, using Margaret Boden's The Creative Mind as our guide.
It's a fascinating exploration of what makes the human mind tick.
It really is. And you know us, we're all about cutting through the jargon to get to the heart of things. So no worries there.
Absolutely. Pure insight into this whole creative process.
Exactly. And one of the first things that really struck me was Boden's breakdown of the different types of creativity. It's not just one thing, is it?
Right. It's so much more nuanced than that. Understanding these different types is really key. It helps us recognize our own strengths, maybe even cultivate new ones.
I'm all for that. So let's talk about those types. Combinational creativity. That's the first one.
Imagine a chef, right? They've got all these familiar ingredients, spices they use all the time.
Okay, I'm picturing my spice rack right now.
And they use those familiar ingredients, but they mix them in a way nobody's ever thought of before. Boom, a brand new dish.
Delicious. So it's about taking what we know and seeing those unexpected connections, those surprising combinations. Have you found yourself doing that in your own work?
All the time. I think we all do it more than we realize. Even in everyday life, not just in artistic fields.
Totally. It's about spotting those hidden relationships between things that seem totally different on the surface.
Precisely.
Okay, so that's combinational. What about exploratory creativity?
Okay, think of your favorite game. You know the basic rules, right?
I'm more of a book person, honestly, but I get it.
Okay, well, imagine you're playing that game, but instead of just sticking to the well-worn paths, you're exploring every single nook and cranny, testing the boundaries.
Pushing the limits, seeing what those rules can really do.
Exactly. You're not changing the fundamental rules of the game, but you're discovering new strategies, new possibilities within that existing framework.
So it's like those musicians, right?
Yeah.
The ones who are masters of a particular genre. They know the rules inside and out.
But they're not afraid to stretch them to see how far they can bend without breaking.
Love that.
Ooh.
Okay, so we've got combining familiar elements in new ways. We've got pushing boundaries. What's the third type?
Transformational creativity. This is where things get really interesting.
Okay, I'm intrigued.
This is about completely reinventing the game. Not just bending the rules, but rewriting them entirely.
Whoa. Okay, give me an example of that.
Think about the invention of the internet.
Talk about a game changer.
Right. It completely transformed the way we communicate, the way we access information. It wasn't just a new invention. It was a paradigm shift.
Mind-blowing. But Boden argues that even transformational creativity, as revolutionary as it is, isn't about pulling something out of thin air.
Exactly. It's not this mystical ex nihilo process, you know, where ideas just appear out of nowhere.
Wait, really? It always feels kind of magical to me.
It does, but she argues that all creativity, no matter how groundbreaking, operates within certain constraints.
Constraints? You mean limitations? I would have thought those would stifle creativity.
It seems counterintuitive, right? But Boden makes a really compelling argument. She says these constraints, whether it's the rules of a game, the laws of physics, even just the limitations of language, can actually be incredibly powerful for sparking creativity.
How so? I don't quite see it.
They provide a framework, a structure for exploration and innovation. Think of it this way. You give a child a blank canvas and some paints, they might just end up with a big, messy blob.
Kids, right.
But give them a coloring book with those same paints and something interesting happens.
Yeah.
The lines, the shapes, they provide a structure, a starting point. And within those boundaries, the child can explore, experiment, express themselves.
Okay, I'm starting to see where you're going with this.
It's like a paradox. Limitations can actually breed ingenuity.
So instead of being overwhelmed by infinite possibilities, we thrive when we have some structure to guide us.
Precisely. And that's where Boden introduces this concept of conceptual spaces, which are like mental maps that shape our thinking. They're frameworks of knowledge, experience, cultural influences, all the things that make us us.
So like our own personal worldview, kind of.
Exactly. But here's the thing. We're not stuck with just one map. We can explore new territories, adopt new perspectives.
Expand our horizons, so to speak.
Exactly. Think of a chef who spent years mastering, let's say, French cuisine.
Oh, I can almost taste the delicate pastries.
Right. Now imagine that chef decides to explore Thai cooking.
Okay, so we're talking completely different flavors, different techniques.
Exactly. They're entering a whole new conceptual space, but they're bringing all of their existing expertise with them. That cross-cultural exploration can lead to some truly incredible creative breakthroughs.
It's like we're constantly downloading new maps onto our mental GPS.
Yeah.
Expanding our creative possibilities.
I love that analogy. And just like with a GPS, we can zoom in on specific areas of expertise, go really deep into the details. And that's where Bowden's emphasis on expertise really resonated with me.
Right, because it's not just about having a wild imagination, is it? It's about having that deep well of knowledge to draw from.
Exactly. She argues that true creativity, it's not about some magical ability, some innate talent you're either born with or you're not. It's the result of hard work, dedication, and a deep understanding of a particular field.
So expertise is like the fertile ground from which creativity can blossom.
1,000 times yes. And Bowden highlights how even those seemingly accidental discoveries, those aha moments, they're often the result of a prepared mind. Remember Cake Lule, the chemist who discovered the structure of benzene?
Vaguely. Refresh my memory.
He had this dream about a snake biting its own tail. And it sparked this insight about the ring-like structure of the benzene molecule.
Oh, right. I remember that story now. It's one of those things that always stuck with me. It feels so serendipitous.
It does. But Bowden points out that Kekulé had been grappling with this problem, the structure of benzene, for years. His unconscious mind had all the pieces of the puzzle. The dream was just the catalyst.
So his expertise provided the context for that aha moment to occur. Like his brain was working on it in the background, even when he wasn't consciously aware of it.
Yeah. That's exactly what she's saying. And she goes on to highlight another fascinating aspect of this unconscious processing. The way we represent problems, how we frame them in our minds, can completely change our ability to solve them.
It's like how you phrase a question, right? It can lead to very different answers.
Precisely. She uses this great example, Ernest Rutherford, the physicist. He imagined the atom as a miniature solar system.
Okay, with electrons orbiting the nucleus like planets around the sun.
Exactly. And sure, that representation is imperfect, but it revolutionized atomic physics because it allowed scientists to ask new questions to develop more accurate models.
So a fresh perspective, a new way of looking at things, can be just as important as raw knowledge.
Absolutely. And that's where Bowden talks about the power of analogies and metaphors in the creative process. They help us draw these unexpected connections between things that seem totally unrelated.
Like that famous quote, creativity is just connecting things.
Right. Think about Shakespeare comparing sleep to knitting up the raveled sleeve of care.
Such a vivid image.
Right. And it helps us understand sleep in a whole new way. Or how about scientists using the analogy of a computer to describe the human brain? It helps us grasp those complexities by relating them to something familiar.
Those analogies, they don't even have to be perfect, do they? Just the act of trying to find a connection can spark something new.
Exactly. And that's what's so exciting. It's not just about passively absorbing information. We're actively looking for connections, experimenting with different representations, letting our unconscious minds work on these problems in the background. And that brings us to one of the most fascinating and maybe even a little bit controversial areas of creativity research, artificial intelligence. Could AI ever be truly creative?
Right. Bowden dives into some pretty mind-blowing examples. AI programs, composing original music, even designing scientific experiments. It's incredible.
It really is. And it raises this fundamental question. Can a machine truly be creative? Or is it just mimicking the creativity of its human programmers?
Right. Is it really thinking for itself? Or is it just a really sophisticated parrot?
That's the million-dollar question. Bowden explores this through the lens of the Lovelace test. Essentially, can a machine create something genuinely surprising, something that goes beyond what its creators explicitly programmed it to do?
So it's not just about following instructions, it's about demonstrating some spark of originality.
Exactly. And Bowden argues that while AI programs might be considered psychologically creative, meaning they generate these novel outputs that even their creators are surprised by, it's much harder to say whether they can achieve true historical creativity.
Historical creativity. Meaning what exactly?
Making a genuinely new contribution to human knowledge or culture. Something that pushes the boundaries of what we thought was possible.
Okay, I'm with you. So you could have a program that churns out Bach-style compositions all day long. And they might fool even the experts.
Right, but does that make the program historically creative? Or is it just really good at mimicking a style?
Right, it's replicating, but it's not necessarily innovating in the way that, say, Stravinsky did with his music that totally shook things up.
Exactly. And this whole debate about AI and creativity, it gets even more complex when you start thinking about the role of representation and problem solving.
How so?
Well, if you train an AI program on a data set that has certain biases, certain limitations, guess what? Its output is going to reflect those biases.
So even if an AI can generate what appears to be original work, it's still constrained by the data it's been fed.
Exactly. And that raises a whole other layer of questions. Who gets to decide what data is used to train these systems? Who's responsible when an AI generates something harmful or offensive?
It's like the old saying, garbage in, garbage out.
Right. And these ethical considerations, they're critical to grapple with as we develop these increasingly sophisticated AI systems.
Definitely adds a whole new dimension to the discussion. But even if AI can't perfectly replicate human creativity, it seems like it could still be a powerful tool for enhancing our own creative potential.
Absolutely. Imagine AI helping us brainstorm new ideas, overcome creative blocks, or even just take care of those tedious, repetitive tasks that can suck the joy out of the creative process.
Now, that's a future I can get behind.
Yeah.
But I'm curious, with all this talk of AI, do you think there's something inherently human about creativity that a machine will never be able to replicate?
That is the question, isn't it? And it leads us to another fascinating thread in Boden's work.
So we've talked about AI and its potential for creativity, but what about us humans? Those moments of pure insight, those flashes of brilliance, they seem almost magical.
Those aha moments, right?
Exactly. Where do those come from?
Well, Boden dives into the science behind those flashes of insight, and it turns out it's not magic after all.
I had a feeling you were going to say that.
It might feel like it sometimes, but these moments, they're often the culmination of a long process happening beneath the surface, like a seed that's been quietly germinating underground. Think about a time you were struggling with a problem.
Oh, all the time. Who hasn't?
Maybe a creative challenge at work, a personal dilemma, anything really. You're wrestling with it, turning it over and over in your mind.
And this.
And then you go for a walk, you hop in the shower, you're doing something completely unrelated, and boom, the solution hits you out of nowhere. It's like your unconscious mind has been working on the problem in the background, making those connections while your conscious mind is busy elsewhere.
It's like when you can't remember a name, and then hours later, it just pops into your head when you least expect it.
Exactly. And Boden suggests that our unconscious minds, they're actually really good at this kind of processing. They excel at making those sorts of connections, constantly sifting through information, testing out different possibilities, looking for those hidden patterns.
So those aha moments, they're not so much about sudden inspiration as they are about our brains finally putting the pieces together.
Precisely. And while we can't control these unconscious processes directly, Boden suggests we can create the conditions that make these breakthroughs more likely to happen.
Okay, so how do we do that? How do we cultivate those aha moments?
One key is immersion. Really dive deep into the problem, explore it from all angles, marinate in it, so to speak. It's like planting seeds, right? You need to give them fertile ground to grow.
And then just wait for them to sprout.
Well, it's a bit more nuanced than that. Boden also emphasizes the importance of breaks, allowing our conscious minds to rest, to wander. Sometimes the key to unlocking a breakthrough is to step away from the problem entirely.
Oh, I'm a big believer in that. Sometimes you just need a fresh perspective.
Exactly. Give your conscious mind a break and you create space for those unconscious processes to do their thing. It's amazing what can bubble up when you least expect it.
So it's a balance then, isn't it? Focused effort, but also strategic disengagement.
Absolutely. And here's another fascinating thing. Boden found that collaboration, the sharing of ideas, can also be a powerful trigger for those aha moments. Sometimes just talking through a problem with someone else, even if they're not an expert, can help us see things in a new light.
Sometimes you just need someone to talk it out with.
Exactly. Bouncing ideas off each other, challenging assumptions, introducing fresh perspectives, all of that can help stimulate those creative breakthroughs.
So creativity, it's not always a solo sport, which makes you wonder, if we could somehow incorporate that into AI development, could we create systems that are even better at generating those aha moments?
It's a fascinating thought experiment. AI systems that act as thought partners, helping us push past our creative blocks.
Now that would be incredible. But even if we never quite get there, I think Boden's work offers a really hopeful message that creativity, it's not some mystical gift that's only bestowed upon a select few. It's a human capacity that we can all cultivate.
1,000%. by understanding the different types of creativity, by embracing constraints, by setting the stage for those aha moments to occur, we can all tap into our own creative potential.
Beautifully said. Well, as we wrap up our deep dive into the creative mind, what stands out to you? What insights are you taking away from this exploration?
That's for our listeners to ponder.
Indeed. But remember, whether you're writing a novel, composing a symphony, or just trying to find a creative solution to an everyday problem, the power to create is within you. Thanks for joining us.
Don't ask what AI can do for you. Ask what you can do with AI.
Let's go.
Empower yourself at virtualstorylab.com.